The answer to our climate crisis might be hiding in plain sight, or rather, just beneath our feet. While politicians debate carbon taxes and engineers design elaborate carbon capture technologies, the most efficient system for removing carbon dioxide from our atmosphere has been operating for billions of years. Our soil isn't merely dirt, it's a living ecosystem with remarkable potential to reverse climate change. What's truly astonishing is how we've overlooked this solution while desperately searching elsewhere. The numbers tell a sobering story. Through plowing, deforestation, and poor land management, humans have released 50 to 80 billion tons of carbon from soil into the atmosphere. Until the 1950s, most excess atmospheric carbon dioxide came not from burning fossil fuels, but from how we treated our land. Yet, this problem is reversible. As soil scientist Ritan Lal puts it, soil carbon is like a cup of water. We've drunk half, but we can refill it. When a ton of carbon enters soil, it removes over 3 tons of CO2 from the atmosphere, a powerful multiplier effect that could potentially sequester 3 billion tons of carbon annually. Plants deliberately leak up to 40% of their photosynthesis captured carbon into soil as an evolutionary strategy. Ecologist Christine Jones calls this the very first carbon trading scheme. Like homeowners calling service providers, plants supply carbon sugars to attract specific microorganisms that deliver needed nutrients. A single teaspoon of healthy soil contains up to 7 billion organisms, including potentially 75,000 bacterial and 25,000 fungal species. These microscopic partners build soil structure through aggregates that fungi gather into larger structures, resembling a living coral reef. This porous environment allows water infiltration, prevents erosion, and stores carbon in increasingly stable forms, some remaining locked in soil for centuries. If managed properly across landscapes, this process could help address atmospheric carbon problems. Wildlife biologist Alan Savory discovered that lanin degradation occurred even without cattle presence. He observed that wild herds, tightly grouped for protection from predators, benefited soil by trampling vegetation and breaking soil surfaces with their hooves, creating pathways for seeds and moisture. Domestication disrupted this pattern by spreading animals across landscapes rather than maintaining the tight herds that naturally regenerated grasslands. This insight led to holistic planned grazing, which moves domestic animals to mimic ancient herd patterns. Despite scientific skepticism, about 10,000 ranchers have adopted these practices with impressive results. At Savory's Zimbabwe Center, cattle numbers have increased fivefold on the same land. Formerly bare ground now supports dense grass, and springs have returned to a previously dry river. This approach shows that sometimes the solution isn't removing animals from the land, but managing them to mirror nature's patterns. Gabe Brown easily pushes a 4-foot moisture probe into his microbially rich North Dakota soil, declaring, "I don't worry about drought." His 5,400-acre farm outside Bismarck thrives with diverse plants and rotational cattle grazing. This approach emerged after 4 consecutive crop failures nearly bankrupted him. Unable to afford fertilizer, Brown discovered his soil might not need chemical inputs at all. His method? No-till planting with diverse cover crop cocktails, followed by concentrated mauve grazing, produces 127 bushels of corn per acre, 27 above county average, without synthetic inputs, at less than half the typical production costs. His soil organic matter has increased from 1.7% to over 5%, attracting scientific attention. USDA entomologist Jonathan Lundgren found exceptional insect diversity on Brown's farm, noting that while conventional farmers view insects as enemies, only a tiny fraction are pests, with each pest having approximately 3,000 beneficial predators. Brown hasn't used pesticides in 12 years because his diverse plant ecosystem naturally supports beneficial insects that control pests. Carbon-rich soil functions like a sponge, storing water that would otherwise cause runoff, pollution, and flooding. By 2012, 200 cities across 29 countries had invested in watershed restoration instead of water treatment plants, double the number from 4 years earlier. New York City saved $6 billion by paying Catskill farmers to adopt practices that reduced runoff. These ecosystem services extend beyond carbon sequestration to include water storage, pollutant filtration, erosion prevention, flood and wildfire mitigation, air purification, and increased productivity. Australia's Carbon Farming Initiative allows farmers to earn carbon tax dollars by storing carbon or reducing emissions. While measuring soil carbon remains challenging, new technologies are emerging. Soil scientist Dan Rooney has developed systems combining sensors with software to map soil properties. At Innisfree Village Farm in Virginia, monitoring systems track how livestock management affects soil. "We're engaging the land in an active conversation," explains farm manager Peter Traverse. "There are now ways to ask the land how it's feeling." As dusk falls on a California conference, cowboy hats and Birkenstocks mingle in animated conversation. This alliance between ranchers and environmentalists represents a profound shift in land management approaches. Despite rivers of bad blood flowing throughout the 1990s, science has revealed surprising common ground. When researcher Jamie Marty discovered that grazing actually helped vernal pools thrive by controlling invasive plants, these former adversaries formed the Boots and Birkenstocks bunch. Nationwide, environmental organizations increasingly collaborate with agriculturalists to build healthy, carbon-rich soils. The Nature Conservancy has convinced California orchardists to adopt nitrogen-fixing cover crops that improve soil and water retention. Rice farmers flooding fields after harvest instead of burning stubble have created new habitat for migrating birds, whose droppings enhance soil microbial diversity. Kansas rancher Bill Sproul exemplifies this evolving perspective. "Everything is part of the community. I'm part of it, you're part of it, the cattle are part of it, the air, the land, the ants, the lizards." This shift from viewing land as merely a resource to seeing it as a community we belong to represents a philosophical transformation. The solution to our climate crisis may be right under our feet. Research from New Mexico State University indicates that improving soil microorganisms on just 11% of world cropland could offset all human CO2 emissions. Test plots using cover crops and balanced compost showed impressive two-year results: 67% increase in soil organic matter, 30% greater water holding capacity, and plants transferring 72% of captured carbon to soil. While this doesn't excuse fossil fuel companies, it offers an immediate solution with multiple benefits: improved productivity, reduced water use, and decreased environmental impact. Even urban lawns, covering three times the area of cornfields, can contribute when maintained with fewer chemicals. Those working to improve soil health share a common trait: optimism. As Peter Donovan puts it, they're connected with the most powerful geologic force, which is life. We face a choice: continue treating soil as an inert medium for chemical manipulation, or recognize it as a living ecosystem that helps solve environmental challenges. By becoming soil stewards, we can simultaneously address climate change, food security, water quality, biodiversity, and human health. The revolution begins with a handful of living soil.